college, I was offered a position in a local church as the college career teacher, plus the outreach pastor of this church, about 2,000 people. It was a pretty good sized ministry. Well, the thing about this church, it was going a direction contrary to the direction I was looking to go. I just wasn't comfortable taking that position, even though at the time it was one of the most popular churches on the globe here. Well, what happened, I also had an offer to work at this camp called The Wilds. And you just had a song that Brother Matt played from a guy who used to be the music director there, Mac Lynch. And you've heard a lot of his songs, whether you know it or not. But I ended up going up there working on program staff. And it was a blessing to me, but I still had a burden as far as evangelism's concerned. Well, through a series of incident or opportunities and situations, there was a group of people in my hometown area, Portland, Indiana, who wanted to start a fundamental independent Bible-believing church. Now, the thing was, they weren't that way as far as their training. They were Southern Baptist folks who wanted to come out of the Southern Baptist Convention and start an independent work. Now, that's a lot of work to get them trained up to know the difference. So I kind of fought that. I told my dad, I said, "You coward." Respectfully, of course. I said, you're a preacher. You go do that. He says, "I don't have a burden for Portland, Indiana." I said, "What do you mean?" Well, when you're at Bible college, you know, Brother Matt probably had to go through this. You do a church planting class. And what they do, they make you survey the area, figure out where, you know, the best place would be to, you know, build a building or purchase a building. You go through all those different things to be ready. Well, I did that. But when I got done with it, like a lot of things from college, I just threw it in a drawer. You know, I thought, I'll never use this at any place or any time. Little did I know. Well, what happened, I was doing a special meeting for a guy by the name of Frank Hamrick. He was pastoring in North Carolina. And Dad calls me, says, "Your church is ready." I said, "Dad," I said, I'm working at the Wilds. I've only been here about 6 months. I mean, how unethical is that?" He said, "Well, if God's calling it, God's ordering up, you better be listening." Well, long story short, I ended up pastoring that new ministry. And you know what? I needed that. I needed that to mature personally, but I needed that to prepare me for what I do now. Isn't that how God works? He was putting me in training mode to equip me to do what I do as an evangelist and have done for the past 30-some years. So I wouldn't want to do what I'm doing now apart from that experience. But folks, listen here. We grew from, does this sound hard to believe, from 50 people, that's what we had as far as the basis is concerned, to 175 people in 1 year. Isn't that amazing? It's a town of about 10,000 people. You know, I've been driving around this area with Pastor quite a bit. You are not lacking in opportunities of ministry here. You know what I'm saying? There's no reason, no excuse you can't fill these pews and this place bust at the seams. There's opportunities just in your backyard. Hundreds of people who need Jesus. Great opportunities. Well, what happened? In the midst of this opportunity, I'm in my hometown crowd. Now, I didn't share this testimony. I'll just throw this in just because of the crowd we have here. When I got saved, right after I was saved, I was playing a guest performance on the Lawrence Welk traveling show. Only old people know what I'm talking about. And I didn't do the bubble machine, okay, like Lawrence Welk show. I actually sang two songs with the orchestra. Myron Florin was there, the accordion player. I danced off the stage with Sissy, you know, Bobby and Sissy. I really did. And that's the way the town where I'm now going to be a fundamental pastor knows of me to be. My dad was the head of the county council, so there was a different perspective of this personality called Mike Maynard Weirdness here, coming now to be a fundamental Bible-believing people. But here was the benefit of that. I knew all the people from the movers and shakers to have no shaking at all. Y'all with me here? And that gave me great opportunity to witness to more people than maybe if I'd gone to a strange place that I wasn't familiar with. Folks, I'm telling you, that church was amazing. And you know how we grew? We were sheep stealers. Well, you know what? I call it sheep rescuing sometimes. There are churches around here not teaching the truth. Some of these entertainment churches, these churches that are just fluff and no stuff. You know what I'm talking about. You see it on TV all the time. You know how we grew people? The way you're supposed to grow a church? Soul winning. Now, again, this is a mind-boggling statistic, and I've never experienced before or since. But I was on visitation all the time, and people were giving me opportunities. Would you go visit my aunt? Hey, I got this coworker. I've tried to witness. Would you go? And I'm telling you, it was like picking cherries off a tree. The first year alone, people, I was able to lead over 70 people to Jesus Christ. Myself. Besides the guy that went with me that was leading people, Lord, that's how we grew so fast. And here's the amazing statistic with that. Most of them stayed. And what happened, we just grew so quickly. We were in a temporary building, an old hardware store. Man, we packed that thing out. Then we built a building on the edge of town. Guess what property they were already purchasing when they asked me to come? The same property I picked in my church planning class. Duh. Is God obviously direct in this situation? Well, yes, he was. But folks, can I say very straightforward, like you know I do, that's how you're going to grow this church. You hear me? Now, rescue people from non-Bible preaching churches. I'm all for that. I think that's biblical. I think it's a wonderful thing to do to help people get under the preaching of this man. You have no excuses, folks, to not grow. You got a nice facility here. You got a very seasoned pastor who is going, I guarantee you, feed you and prepare you to do the work of the ministry. But here's the problem. Most people don't want to be that involved in doing the work of the ministry. You know, God can do much with little. I don't care if it's 15 or 20 of you or 35. If that group of people alone would grow a church the way God wants to grow a church, you'd be looking to build that auditorium you talked about several years ago. Can we really do that in the age we're in? Yes, we can. God is still in the soul-saving business, and that's the business that he's entrusted unto us. Wouldn't it have been easier just to get saved and go to heaven for all eternity and not have all this junk to battle with every day and all this work that needs to be done? But he left us behind. And why did he do that? Well, to again fulfill his burdened heart. Why did Jesus come? He came to seek and to save the lost. Why did he leave us behind? To seek and to save the lost. Folks, we've dropped the ball as fundamentalists as far as our soul-winning urgency, necessity, and really want to as far as pleasing and honoring God and help people escape hell for all eternity. Like I mentioned Sunday, you may not be a good talker. Well, what's that got to do with you just being a good messenger? You don't have to, you know, talk to somebody like you got a college degree. Just tell them your testimony if you don't have anything else available at this time. But folks, if you don't know how to tell someone how to go to heaven for all eternity, I want to talk to you before you leave this building on going to heaven for all eternity. If you don't know biblically, how can you respond and receive the greatest gift offered to mankind, the gift of eternal life? Now, once you get saved, you need to equip yourself. You all know that. But folks, what good is the equipping if you don't seek to put that into practice? One of my favorite illustrations of this is found in a very familiar passage. You probably heard 5 zillion messages that we'll get for 5 zillion and one coming tonight. Go to the book of Acts tonight, if you would, please. And specifically, go to Acts chapter 8, one of the most entertaining and informative passages on soul winning that you're going to find in the Word of God. And it talks about a guy by the name of Philip. I kind of like the guy. He's kind of dubbed Philip the Evangelist. But what's the stuff that Philip is made out of and presents through his life? Well, I tell you, if you read his little biographical representation here, no doubt a guy that knows Jesus. Y'all with me? He shows that, again, he has that life in Christ because it leads to being that servant. Then it leads to being that soul winner. Then it leads to that again, seizing the opportunities to help people know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. You know, as God gives me opportunities, I preach on, my heart burns, I preach on soul winning every night if I thought that was the good way to approach this kind of meeting. But other stuff needs to be cleared out of the way. Now, Kate wasn't here last night. Some folks may be watching V and technology and stuff, but we preached on the hindrance of most ministry endeavor, which is stink and rotten pride. We hide behind our flesh and our excuses, and there's no excuse of you being unfaithful. Is this amazing to you like it is to me? One of the verses we know the best, we're most unfaithful to. What do you mean, Brother Maynard? Is there anyone here that doesn't know the Great Commission? What is it? Going to what? All the world and preach to the people you think you can handle and not get embarrassed with. That's kind of the way we treat it. No, folks, it's still why you are here, why I'm here, to help people know Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Well, there's all kinds of places we can start here. He's a very active, busy guy. But I'm going to start reading here. We're going to have a word of prayer. Then I'm going to start reading in verse 25. And let me just let this be unfolded before us tonight as we look into this story. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this time. Thank you for the faithfulness of these folks. Lord, I know they'd love to see the place packed out. But Lord, this is the crowd that you'd have be here tonight. And Lord, they've got a great opportunity to hear from you. Lord, I pray that this will take, again, deep rooting within the heart and mind. Lord, very personally, in a deep way of conviction that not only leads to, hey, I feel bad I'm not doing this, but Lord, I need to be faithful and get this done. And Lord, there is a big difference. I don't think there's anyone in this room that wants someone to go to hell for all eternity. But Lord, I also believe they understand we don't care enough to really get past our flesh and be faithful to do what we're here to do. We don't care enough, because when we care enough, we get busy about the Master's business. So Lord, help us to learn from the example of old Philip here, and help us, Lord, again, to receive these truths joyfully to our hearts. And Lord, help us again to be productive and the ministry that you've entrusted unto us. We praise you, Lord. We thank you now for this challenge, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look down with me at verse 25. And again, this guy is hitting it and getting it, and again, active in the work of God. It says, "And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans." You know, I don't know if you've learned this in ministry. Most of you have been around a while. God uses busy people. He does. You know, he wants people who are saying yes instead of no. And those are the ones that are abundantly, wonderfully blessed. Remember what I said? Get in the habit of saying no to your flesh and yes to God. That'll just transform your impact as far as ministry is concerned. So look what happens next. Barnyard door opportunity. "The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." Now, folks, I could preach on the next phrase till Jesus takes me home. He arose and went. Y'all know what that means? He put the pedal to the metal. He went forward. He got out of neutral or out of reverse, and he got it down into drive, and he went forward to buy up the opportunity. We get stalled out sometimes, don't we? Again, we think about the what-if monster that just eats our lunch, and we don't trust God and just do what he's availed to us to be faithful unto. Remember what I said Sunday? If God orders it up, you listening? He'll always give you what it takes to be faithful. And God opens doors before us every single day. We just aren't looking most of the time to go through and be faithful. And boy, do we have a bucket load of excuses. Not old Phil, again, good testimony. Look at verse 27. It says, "He arose and went." And here's the opportunity. "There was a man, an Ethiopian, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot and read Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip says, Oh, I can't do that. Look at this guy. He's got on those fancy clothes. Oh, he's probably smart. You know, aren't we amazing? Give me a dumb guy any day and I'll witness. Just don't get someone that may ask me a question that I don't know how to answer. Have you ever been there, done that? I have. Folks, can I help you with something? If you don't know, tell them you don't know. Again, don't get so caught up in what you may be asked or don't know. Tell them what you clearly know concerning going from this place called earth to heaven for all eternity. Always bring them back to the cross. Remember the mission. Remember the message. It's to help them know Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Now, granted, this guy probably was a brainiac, big bucks. I mean, look at the job that he held. But again, that didn't slow down Philip to trust in God and again, help him have answers to his questions. So look how this, again, great opportunity just keeps getting so, so blessed and so wonderful to be a part of. Well, it said, the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither. Don't you love the word thither and whither in Scripture? I think of Sylvester. That's just my own personal cartoon perversion. But Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Now, folks, energy, obedience, faithfulness. Boy, that's Philip. But look at the humility of this big bucks guy in this situation. He says, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that would come up and sit with him. You know, I don't have very many regrets, but I got a little short list here. I wish I could have fixed a little better or done a little more biblically or a little more diligently. But one of the things I regret is not marking down on some kind of a scorecard of just remembrance of people I've led to Christ. You know, I can picture a lot of the folks I led to the Lord while I was pastoring and in different youth rallies. Man, I've been in youth rallies, folks, where I've seen hundreds get saved. Hundreds? Yeah, took some tents down into Mexico, and I didn't preach. I just got to be a part of what God was doing, and that's what I do as an evangelist. I just get to be a part of what God's doing. But I wish I would have written down just to count my blessings, just rejoice in all of those blessed privileges of seeing a soul escape hell for all eternity. And I just wish I'd been more diligent in that. But talk about, again, a rev the engine opportunity. Anytime I have some open door thing like this, someone says, I just need to get saved. Can you tell me how to go to heaven? I'm busy. Go call the pastor. No, you lead them to the Lord. You know, again, if you know Jesus, just take time. There's no presto, change-o, magical, deep, you know, I have to be a doctorate. I have my doctorate as far as education. No, just tell them about your Jesus and how he saved your worthless, sinful hide. That's all, folks. Let's be simple. But simply stated, let's be faithful. And buying up again the opportunities, folks, that are just numerous. Just nonstop, all the time. So I'm sure he's revving high in RPMs here. Here's what happened. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shear. So he opened not his mouth. And his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth. And the eunuch said, hey, scratching his head, what is this all about? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Is this obvious or what? So what does he do? He does something we need to be more faithful unto. He's informational. Would you say that with me, please? Informational. Say it again a little louder. Informational. Now, will you be hesitant, lacking in boldness as far as this information delivery business is concerned, if you don't know the information you're supposed to give? Yeah. Now, you got your testimony. That's you can start tonight. You know, on the way home, you go by Wally World. You know, it's a scary place to go after 10 o'clock, I'll tell you right now. But you know what? You have no excuse to again, put it off till like 10 years from now like you've been doing. No, you're ready to give the message, but let's give them more content, and thus saith the Lord. I was preaching in the place where these Harvest Youth Rallies started in Connersville, Indiana. I emceed those for like 25 years. That's where I saw so many kids and adults come to know Christ. But what happened, it was pretty early on in this ministry opportunity. I'm doing a revival in the church that just runs all that stuff. Well, I knew this old farmer, and he was probably in his latter 70s, mid to latter 70s, young guy, young man. And, you know, he always had on his bib overalls. You ever seen those guys? You know, they got their work bib overalls, then their Sunday go-to-meeting bib overalls. Well, he had on his Sunday go-to-meeting bib overalls. Well, here's what happened. The night before, I mentioned the Romans Road. Y'all know what I mean by that? That's just where you take the book of Romans And through that book, you lead someone to Jesus. He came the next night. Now, of course, him and mom came together. You know, I think she had a name. I don't think she was his mother, but he called her mom. And he and mom, you know, they were just the first ones to the church. And listen, this guy made a beeline for me. You know, of course, my insecurity, oh, what did I do now? I'm always sticking my foot in my mouth or doing something goofy here. And but he comes to me and says, Mike, I just need to talk to you. I said, oh, yeah, why? I'm all ears. He said, last night you mentioned the Romans Road, and I'm not sure what you were talking about. You know what I wanted to say? Have you been sleeping in church all these years? Haven't you been listening to the... I was pastoral, Pastor. You've been proud of me. I didn't just uncork an evangelistic in-your-face mode. I said, well, let me just show you. You know what? He was ready. He reached down those bib overalls, pulled out a pad of paper, chaff, corn, you know, pulling out here. And then he dug a little deeper and he had a pen or a pencil, something. And what did I do? I simply went through the Romans Road. You know what? I thought everybody knew this. How naive and foolish am I? So what I've done since that, I'm going to do for you. Get your Bibles out. Turn to the book of Romans real quick. We're going to do this real quick, so I don't want to go as late as I did last night. But go to Romans. We're real close by. You're in the book of Acts chapter 8. Just go right over to the next passage here. But here's what I tell folks. Write down what I'm telling you. Get ready to be faithful, even though you haven't nailed down that decision. Get more information so you've got more information to give unto others. If you were going to, Pastor, please be quiet. I'm not trying to be disrespectful to your leadership and your education of wowness to the Word of God, but I want your folks to talk to me. If you were going to lead some of the Lord through the book of Romans, where would you start? You might want to tell me. Now, I'd go to 320. I know if I'd go there first. You know, when I lead someone, Lord, I usually start in Romans 3:10. Would you look at that with me? Romans 3:10. What are we trying to establish here? That we're all in the same boat as far as human beings are concerned. We're all sinners. So this is a great statement here. It says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. Now, let me help you with something. When you start doing this for the first time faithfully, or maybe not for a long time, write the reference in the front of your Bible. Write the page number in the front of your Bible, because you may go into panic mode and forget your own name, let alone where to start as far as the Romans Road is concerned. And make yourself, listen, a road map. Some Bibles do this for you. Have you had one of those where it just lays out and marks for you these passages of Scripture? So in the front of your Bible, write Romans 3:10 and go to Romans 3:10 and then go to maybe draw a line or write the reference, Romans 3:23. Now, let me tell you what will happen when you do this faithfully. These will just become a part of your spiritual DNA. It will. It'll become very familiar to you, like it's supposed to be that familiar in an educational situation and presentation of the truth. It says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, that's pretty important information, isn't it? All, circle the all, have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So your 3:23, where would you go next? This is up for conversation and personal preference. Where would you go next? Talk to me. Yeah, I'd go there, but I think I usually go, just because, again, the way the Scripture's laid out, I go to Romans chapter 5. And I usually go down to verse 8 here where it says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And then I would go, again, drawing a map along the way, Romans 6:23, and this is the one we, most of us, not all of us, have memorized. It says here, for the wages, now folks, and I say this, I think, every time. Wages, what does that mean? Payment. The payment of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, folks, I grew up good works outweigh your bad mentality, and so have most of the people in your ministry scope and endeavor of opportunity. So again, they don't understand this is the gift of God. Now, I'm going to give you a secret that the devil doesn't want you to know. When you're leading someone to the Lord through the book of Romans, are you ready for this? This will wow, knock the socks off of your feet, people. You can use other passages of Scripture. God is so good. Yeah. And what would you use talking about the gift of God? Well, what I quoted on Sunday. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is what, folks? The gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So you got 310, 323. I mean, again, I kind of go from one spot to the other, not real consistent. But, you know, once you know it, you're more familiar with where to go at the opportunity in the conversation. But, folks, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 are a couple of verses you need to memorize sooner than later if you don't already know those. So, again, what else would you be as far as information in another book that would help them understand God's love and how this all works? John 3:16. You know, let them know, for God so loved, and I always say you, I make it personal. If I know their name, you lead people to the Lord, you don't know their name. Well, you're standing in line at Walmart. Sometimes you don't have time for biographical sketch. Y'all with me? Or other scenarios or situation. But what does John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And boy, what a blessed truth to give information to someone who wants to know how to get to heaven for all eternity. So once you get done here in 6:23, then I usually go to chapter 10. Don't make this, they don't have to have a college education before they can trust Christ as Savior. But I know some people, they just kind of get too involved. And instead of just keeping the presentation as simple can be, again, folks, you can teach them and disciple them later on, but let's get them to the place of understanding how to know the Scripture through salvation. So in verse 9 and 10, and I go 13, but look at verse 9. Again, we're trying to be informational here. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, hey, this could be a trouble spot here, and I explain this every time I present the gospel. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Folks, here's the trip-up point. With the heart, what does that mean? I think you need to stop and explain. Is it just a mere emotional experience? No, you've been taught better than that. But it does involve the emotions, the heart. But folks, it also is the thinker as well as the thumper. You need to let them understand. Can you get saved just merely knowing how to be saved? No, you need to accept it as your own with a free will choosing, which God avails to you. But so with the heart, folks, I tell them this all the time. It involves your mind. It involves your heart, but it involves who you are, your will. Because that's where we go to as we go to verse 13. This is the draw the net verse, as we would say in the car dealer business. Down in verse 13 it says, for whosoever, and I'm still a whosoever guy. I know a lot of guys aren't quite there theologically, but I still believe what God says here very clearly. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Again, if I know their name, I said if Mike shall call upon the name of the Lord, Mike shall be saved. And then run for the hills, right? No, ask them. Here's the part we don't like about soul winning. Not the information part. Sometimes that's pretty easy for most people once they learn it. Here's the part that's not fun. Confrontational. Write that word down. Yeah, informational, but also confrontational. When you get done presenting the truth, ask them would they like to receive that truth as their very own. And you know what? You may be shocked and surprised and very blessed when they said, that's what I've been looking for. That's exactly what I need. Now, my curiosity was peaked to the moon with this old farmer. You with me? With me? I said, why now in your latter 70s do you want to know the Romans Road? He said, you know that graveyard back behind here? I said, yeah. He says, I got a lot of friends back there, and I'm not sure where they're spending eternity. But I got a lot more going to be there sooner than I really want them to be, and I want to make sure they know my Jesus. Boom. Is that the right understanding? The right burden? The right approach to the call of God upon our lives? Yes, it is. Let's close this out and see how the information and confrontational thing does. We're not going to go much longer here. But go back with me to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. It says here in verse 35 of this passage, Philip opened his mouth, began to the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. As they went on the way, they came to a certain water. The eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Verse 37, and Philip says, "If thou joinest the churches, thou canst." No, does it really? No, look at your Bible. If you become a better person, thou mayest. Is that what it says? No. Here's the only way it works. If thou believest with all thine heart. Remember, thinker, thumper, your will, who you are. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, here we go, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Whoa, Nelly. He commanded the chariot to stand still. They went both down into the water, and Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Now, folks, this is a great verse of procedure. You know, a lot of folks think you need to be baptized to be saved, but we know that's a work. And you're not saved by works. You're saved by receiving the free gift. So what is baptism for? Well, Pastor can go deeper than I'm going to take time to do. But it's an outward testimony of your new life in Christ. Buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. You don't have that testimony unless you receive Jesus Christ as personal Savior. One of the shocking things I think about doing evangelism, how many people are truly saved but have never been scripturally baptized? Do you realize it's not like an optional thing? It's a command of God. It's an ordinance of the local church. And what a blessed tool to have people in your family or just in your life's existence to impact them concerning your life in Christ. You invite them to come to a baptism thing. A lot of folks will buy that up. They wouldn't come to hear a service, but they'll come to see you get dunked. You with me? So again, if you've been saved, a step of obedience to a local church, the command of God, you need to be scripturally baptized. Well, what happened next? Well, what happened? They just parted ways. It says, and they came up out of the water, and the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip and the eunuch, and he saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. And Philip, what did he do? He went on a tour. Look up here. Yeah, he went on the "I led the Ethiopian eunuch to Jesus" tour. You know, he had 8x10 glossies, you know, of going down and coming back up again. You know, he was signing Bibles across the whole land. No, he went and got busy doing more ministry. How many people do you know that are used to Christians? "Oh, I used to go door to door. I used to be a soul winner. I used to teach Sunday school class. I used to be busy for Jesus." You realize how bad that is and how unbiblical it is? You know what, folks? It's a now get it done that God's looking for and should be the testimony set forth through your life. And once you get a home run, let's just go play more ball spiritually. Let's don't brag about what we used to be or what we were blessed to be a part of. Let's go look for more blessings. I understand you were at a point of two services in this church. Well, glory, hallelujah. Let's just talk about the old days and do nothing about what God wants done now. That could happen here. Well, you know, we don't have as many people here. Remember, little as much when God's in it. Little as much when God's in it. This church can grow and become even more of an impacting church, but we've got to be convinced that God's going to do it. And it's not, folks, it's never because of us. It's always in spite of us. But Jesus saved us and called us with a holy calling. And he wants his burden, his want to a lost and dying word to be fulfilled through our lives that belong to him, and simply be faithful in telling people what they need to hear. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. You know, we're going to have an invitation here. I'm going to try to be done. It's 8 o'clock. I went to almost 20 after yesterday. Shame on me. What a motor mouth I was yesterday. Oh, I just loved hearing myself preach. But we're going to close this a little sooner than I normally would. Here are the opportunities of invitation. You may need to just come on your face before God and say, God, help me to learn what I need to learn to tell what I need to tell. You might want to come and commit to that. That would be very, very good as far as a decision and commitment's concerned. Because again, when you become more trained, more confident in what you're supposed to tell, you're more familiar with where you're to go as far as the truth of Scripture is concerned. You know how to use your roadmap to again direct them to the cross of Jesus Christ. You know what? A lot more faithful endeavor will be set forth through your life. That's one. Here's the second one. You ready? Say, God, help me be confront. That's the part we don't like. Help me to be confrontational. Start asking people, do you know Jesus? Would you like to know Jesus? Really? Well, what if they say no? Then go find someone else. What if they say no? Go find someone else. But keep looking for someone else. I get so frustrated when I talk to people about their faithfulness and lack thereof. Well, I'm working on my neighbor. You have been for 300 years. They said no. Go to the other neighbor. Go find someone else. They don't want what you're selling. So go ahead and find someone who's searching. By the directing, providential leading of a loving God who wants to save souls, He'll guide you. He'll direct you. He's just waiting for you to quit making excuses. He's just waiting for you to say yes instead of no to why you're here and what you're supposed to get done to fulfill His burden. Jesus came to seek and to save those that are lost. And folks, that's why He has us here on this earth. Just commit, folks, to be informational. What's that second word we don't like? And also confrontational in the message of Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let's stand our feet. Let's do that. You know how this invitation goes. We'll have our pianists come. And again, the altar's open. Counseling's available. Great time to commit, maybe recommit. You used to be that soul-winning machine. You used to be active in this kind of opportunity. Let's just be busy again as God wants us to be faithful. Heavenly Father, help us now as we have this invitation. God, I just pray You'll just continue to bring conviction to our hearts. Lord, again, I know everybody here cares, but they need to care enough to do something about it. And that's where our flesh cheats us. And Lord, we cheat the cause of Christ in the lives of others because we constantly, constantly make excuses on why I can't do that. Oh God, help me remember, if You ordered up, You expect them to be faithful. But again, You'll give them what it takes to get the job done. So praise You, Lord, and thank You again for this opportunity of confrontational preaching to a responsibility that everybody's familiar with, but very few folks are a part of faithfully. So God, again, help decisions that will just impact hearts for all eternity be made tonight, and we'll thank You and rejoice in Your working in our midst. With heads bowed and eyes closed, God works in your heart. There's a decision you know you need to make. Let me invite you to respond as our pianist plays.
Up here just for a second, and I'll close in a word of prayer. I've got several bags up here with tracks, and sometimes he didn't touch on this, but sometimes a track is a good thing to use as you get yourself familiar with the information that he shared with the Romans Road and other passages. And I'll have those bags out at the door here if you'd like to take the bag. There's several different varieties. And the goal is to take that and empty that bag. And there's not 100,000 tracks in each bag. There's a nice, decent number in there for you to feel like you get them handed out. But handing out is the first step. Talking about it is the next step. And I think the message that we heard tonight was very apropos. It spoke to my heart. It really stirred my heart in thinking about the ministry that God has given to us here. And it's one thing to hand things out and pray over it, all good. It's another thing to speak it and to share it and how it's touched our lives so that they hear that testimony coming from our lips. And, you know, the looking around and seeing what God can do. I walk in here almost every day, and I spend a little time in this room. And I don't just sit there and go, boy, it'd be nice if this pew was filled or if this building was filled. It's the idea that, God, what an opportunity we have. And, you know, even if we just start with this section, kind of ignore those sections and start here. We're not trying to fill up a room with people. We're trying to see people come to know the Lord, and then we get to engage together and see that work done for him. So I'll take those bags with me, meet you at the back. I'm not going to throw them in your face, but if you want one, take one, and we'll pray together over it and see what the Lord will do.
Does it have to be empty by tomorrow night?
Sunday. No, maybe a good goal would be by the end of the month. And here we are on the middle of the month. And see what the Lord will do. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the timely message that you've given to us, Lord. Each one of us needed to hear that, whether we realize it or not. Just the things that it stirred to review the life of Philip and how you used him, his willingness to go and his enthusiasm as we see those verbs outlined and how he ran. And then was moved to another place after he was done with the Ethiopian eunuch. And again, the backstory to that is the Ethiopian eunuch no doubt shared that good news with someone else in his entourage. And Lord, how we have so many opportunities around us. There are people here who only have a certain audience because of their life experience, because of their jobs and so forth, and that's a mission field in and of itself. We have our own mission field here in the backyard of our church, not just in the behind us and next to us, but all up and down West Berks County. And Lord, we just pray and ask that you'd give us that burden of heart, that desire to go, and then to go through the fear with your help to share, to get those words out of our mouths. And use us, we pray, and we'll rejoice together for what you will do. Thank you for teaching us tonight and for strengthening.